someone's like, oh, you want to see that? Like, but I wouldn't purposely watch that movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what Dennis Miller once said? You can always go to Rocky Pie. It's just a great line.
Up to you guys meeting into the big picture. Do you want to go through the last eight?
Yeah, but we gotta move because we got a lot of show on the big picture. Yeah.
Venom, See It, Rent It, Skip It. I'm going Skip It. Larry.
Skip It.
Shay.
Skip It. Larry, you have to talk into the microphone for people to hear you.
What's the movie?
Venom.
I'll rent it.
Nobody's Fool. I don't know anything about it. Tiffany Haddish, Tika Sumpter.
Skip it. Skip it. Tiffany Haddish. You had me at Tiffany Haddish.
No. And director's Tyler Perry.
I just snorted live on the radio. Oh,
it's Tyler Perry, one of his 15 movies of this year.
Oh, I didn't realize it was Tyler Perry. Skip it.
And we'll watch School Days.
Skip it.
Skip everything.
Tyler Perry's releasing three movies even as we speak.
Is that right?
This next one, I think
he might just crap them.
Number six this week, actually not a very good debut, but I loved the first movie. The Girl in the Spider's Web came out. The Dragon Tattoo story. It's got a 6.0. I'm going to go skipping on this one. I loved the first one, but it's been so long since the first movie with Daniel Craig. It's like, why should we care anymore?
I'm intrigued enough to say rent it. Because I did like the first one. But David Fincher. Is Rooney Mara back in this one? Is she doing
No.
So new cast, new director. Like, what? What?
You guys know so much
more than me. You know the spider web?
I'm with Derek.
Lulu, Skip to My Lou. Everything.
All right. Star is Born. Lady Gaga. Bradley Cooper. I'm going to go rent it on this one. I heard good things, though.
I was going to say, my mom saw it in theaters with her sister the other day and really enjoyed it, which means I'd probably just sit there holding my face in my hands the entire time.
And not crying.
So I'm going to go rent it.
If
necessary.
If you like music at all and you don't go see this movie, you don't really like music.
Hmm. All right.
It's that simple.
See, that's interesting.
It's freaking amazing.
But they've made it.
What you said is interesting.
They've made it four times.
It doesn't matter. It's mind-blowing how good it is.
Okay.
It's mind-blowing how good it is.
Maybe we can go to that one, Larry.
Don't put pressure
on me. You're a music fan. We'll get some Zagnuts in the car.
Zagnuts.
The Nutcracker and the Four Realms. Don't know anything about this one, but it came in at number four this week. So I guess it's a remake of the Nutcracker. It's Disney. Young girl transported into a magical world. I'm going Skip It. Unless, of course, I have a niece over or whatever and want to watch it, but I'm going Skip It.
That was going to be my answer.
You'll be able to see it on ABC every Christmas for the next 70 years, so there's no reason to go patronize it in the theater.
Mm-hmm. Overlord, number three. Don't know anything about this one either.
It's a J.J. Abrams zombie Nazi movie.
Really?
It's
actually got good reviews. It's got 7.2 out of 10. I'm going to go rent it on this one.
It's a J.J. Abrams zombie Nazi
movie.
It's
supposed to be pretty hardcore, and it's definitely a rent it for me. I just don't see myself finding time to go see it with everything else that's coming
out. Small group of American soldiers find horror behind enemy lines on the eve of D-Day.
Yeah.
Interesting premise. So I'm going to go rent it on this one. I don't know anything about it. Being out of the loop for a few weeks, I don't know anything about this news. Overlord, you a zombie Nazi fan?
Pass.
All right. Shay?
I'm not a zombie person, but a zombie movie person, but I do think that it sounds... I do think that it sounds like something that, like, maybe I'd smoke a couple bowls and watch at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning.
I don't think you're supposed to smoke bowls when you watch this one. I think you want to be, like... So,
No, it's an interesting concept.
In case it stinks, at least I'll be high.
Yeah.
Number two, Bohemian Rhapsody by, it's Queen, of course. Bohemian Rhapsody, 31.2 million. I'm going to go see this one. I've heard both sides of it. I've heard some people love it, other people don't.
Most people like it. I would rent that.
You're going to rent it, Shay? Yeah.
This is a weird question for me because I saw it on Sunday.
You like it?
And it's awesome.
Is it? All right, good.
Yeah, my dad was a Queen's limo driver when he was in his late teens.
Wow, really? That's cool.
Which is what we went to see it together, and it is, he told me it is spot on accurate. It's very long, but it's, oh God.
Did he get
guys, go see this movie.
Nice.
It's so good.
Did he get a handy from Freddie Mercury?
Oh my God.
He didn't, though. Freddie did try. That's
all
the
right.
thing is.
This he is was, officially the big thing on WMS.
He was, right. he was Freddie and his two managers, limo driver, and his brother drove around the rest of the band.
Uh-huh.
But he just, the whole movie, sat there with his eyes wide like,
loved
this is chillingly accurate. Yeah. We stayed until they started cleaning up the popcorn.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
You said it's long. It takes a long time to tell the truth.
They were a good band spanning decades. Shut up.
Number one on the list this week. I have no idea why they keep remaking this. It's Dr. Seuss's The Grinch.
Yeah,
it came in as number one.
66 million opening weekend.
Come on. I mean, come on. I mean, I hated the live action Ron Howard one. The only thing that's worth seeing is the original animated to me. I'm not going to see The Grinch.
I agree with you, but Benedict Cumberbatch is playing The Grinch, and that's sort of perfect casting.
But it's animated.
Yeah, well, it's computer animated.
Oh, okay.
You know, and it's a longer version of the story. So, if you got kids around, I think it's a definite see it. If you're a grown up, I don't know. It's a rented for me.
All right, Shay.
Skip it.
Larry, you going to go see the new
Grinch? Never saw any Grinch still passing.
All righty. The Big Picture is coming up next in Thanksgiving special. See you next week, everybody, on Watch This. Thanks to Larry Rapucci for coming on in. I got you some homework. 5 movies to watch. Big Picture coming up next with Derek and Shay.
Will you do the fandango? Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo, Galileo
Figaro,
Magnifico. I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family. Spare him his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Bismillah, no, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah,
we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah,
we will not let you go.
Let me go!
We'll not let you go.
Let me go!
We'll not let you go.
Never let me go!
Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia!
Mamma mia, let me go! Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me. For me.
Hey!
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO, if you prefer letters to numbers. Punch that into your phone. Give us a call. We love to hear from our listeners.
We do indeed.
Coming up later tonight, at last, teased for weeks, we're going to be talking about the self-radicalization of America. I promise, I swear, it's going to happen. We're really going to do it this time.
Oh my goodness, I've been so excited. I don't even care that I have laryngitis. No, you aren't randomly listening to a phone sex operation.
Jeez.
I just sound like this.
Can I have a non-broken co-host? Just 1 week. 1 week is all I'm asking.
I'm only, like, slightly broken.
Like, you get your ribs back, and now your voice is gone, and I just don't know what to do with any of this anymore.
Dude, well, that's... Every way that I make money, which is comedy, this, and one more, I make money in beer this way, but it's still count it. And waitressing, I spend all day talking to people, and I never have a day off.
Yeah.
So every time that I get a little bit better, it's like, okay, your voice sounds a little better. Why don't you rest it? And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I have to go talk to people for 6 hours.
I'm finally shaking that cold that was dogging me for a couple of weeks. So.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, you sound way better.
Yeah, I'm on the mend. So that's good. Just in time for Thanksgiving. Now, programming note. We haven't done a regular episode of this show in weeks?
In a minute, yeah.
Since, like...
Because Halloween, the election...
You were out the week before Halloween.
I was
Halloween.
Out the week before Halloween.
So the last time we did a regular show was around October 15th, right? So a month ago.
Oh, my goodness.
You can believe that.
Yuck.
And next week, we're doing another special. So next week is our annual tribute to holiday consumerism. Trying to round up some folks to come into the studio. We may have Shay. I hope we have Shay.
No, next week you have me. You just don't have... next week Thanksgiving?
Yeah, next week is Thanksgiving.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I got big plans for not working those 2 days. So, you know. Yeah. Trust me.
Hey, kids, if your parents are like, go work at a restaurant, it's a totally good idea. Yeah. Don't. Your life is taken away.
Trust me, as a salary man, I know when the days off are. Oh, do I know when the days off are.
That's what I was talking to my brother about last night. I was like, I don't live lives like you. I have to request time off weeks in advance.
Yeah. Yikes. And some days you can't get off at all. So there you go.
True.
So we combined our quiz segment of the show, Did You Hear, with the news segment of the show and came up with Did You Hear the News, I guess is what we call this now. I have no idea. We're going to get through the stuff that matters, hopefully, or at least the stuff that caught our attention this week. Shea Spillane, you start, as always.
I'm going to say, I'll give you two hints. Somerville Hospital, Peter DeMarco.
Nope, different hospital story, but not that one. Peter DeMarco, should I know that name?
You might not remember it. I saw the story when it originally broke 2 years ago, but today it came to a head. The Massachusetts man whose wife collapsed outside of Somerville Hospital and later died finally received a face-to-face apology from the chief executive and the hospital's parent company and just everybody, which is it's Somerville Hospital. And the parent company is Cambridge Health Alliance. And they apologized to him profusely. I really hope he got settlement. There was no news about that yet. But basically what happened was his wife, who's named Laura Levis, was having an asthma attack, went to Somerville Hospital's emergency room on September 16th, 2016. The door was locked with instructions posted to use another entrance. Because she was panicking and having an asthma attack, she couldn't even heed those instructions. So she just walked to the nearest bench, called 911, and told the operator she was outside the emergency room, couldn't get in, and was dying. And at one point, a nurse looked outside for her for 12 seconds, but didn't see her because it was just before dawn. And she was eventually found unresponsive by a firefighter on that bench, which was 29 feet from the hospital's main entrance.
Jesus.
And died at another hospital a couple days later. I can't... Yeah. I used to live like blocks from Somerville Hospital, and I was still just like, I don't really know if I feel comfortable.
Yeah, you really want to be calling 911 to go somewhere
else. Putting my
life
in this hands.
Yeah, yeah. If you're coherent, just say no. Yeah. That used to be like, people used to say when Malden Hospital was still open, they would beg EMTs, don't take me to Malden Hospital, don't take me to Malden Hospital. Because that place had the reputation as the place where everybody died.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, please, not Malden Hospital.
This poor guy, though.
Yeah, that's brutal. And that apology should have been issued a long
time
ago.
Yeah, 2 years? Seriously? Hey.
We're going to have a theme going here, Shea Spillane. Lawrence Memorial Hospital.
Oh, yikes. Oh, I did read something about Lawrence, but I don't know. Let me see if it's what I'm thinking about. No, I'm not sure.
In information that will be of use to our local listeners, it's going to be relevant to you guys. Lawrence Memorial Hospital, right up the street from here in Medford.
Yeah.
Announced it will close its ER and expand urgent care facilities operating from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. They cited a drop in patients as their reason for closing the ER. And they're basically converting the ER into an urgent care center, but they will still have emergency medicine providers on staff. So it's an ER, but it's not an ER. Like, they still have all the ER stuff. And they still have all the ER doctors, but they're only going to be open from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. So
that's absurd.
If you are a tough student in and you're thinking about having a life-threatening injury, try and schedule that before 11 o'clock or you're going to wind up at Somerville Hospital.
There's literally an episode of Grey's Anatomy about this exact situation.
Yeah.
Like, that is absurd. Actually, it stands to reason to cite that episode because even though Grey's Anatomy is a stupid soap opera that I love, there's when there's like a consultant telling them to close the ER, she's also a doctor, and they take the elevator up to the medevac, like to the helicopter pad, and the guy starts bleeding out from his carotid, and the consultant puts her hands over it. She knows how to do it because she's a doctor. And the entire time he said, it's about being the closest.
Yeah.
Like, that's what changes lives and saves lives. And he looked at her and said, do you want me to take over? She said, no, I was the closest. And, and he looked at her kind of like, hello, you dummy.
Yeah. So it really what's going on here is they're not getting enough patients coming in overnight.
I'm so sorry that more people don't have medical emergencies.
Well, no. I mean, what's been happening is that those patients are being routed either to Winchester Hospital or to Melrose Wakefield Hospital, which also tend to have fairly quiet ERs in the overnight hours. So, so Lawrence Memorial sort of being in between the two. And
just figured like they can go to the left or the right.
And part of this too has to do with Melrose Wakefield Hospital Association, which owns Melrose Wakefield and Lawrence Memorial, deliberately routing patients over to Melrose Wakefield to keep their ER, which is a slightly better emergency room, particularly if you're dealing with like a life-threatening condition. Like, you've been in a really bad accident, you probably want to go to Melrose Wakefield anyway.
Yeah.
But if you're having an asthma attack or you're having a heart attack, you need to be stabilized. You know, having that ER available is a good thing.
Well, and that's, I mean, Quincy Medical Center, which I grew up the street from, did the opposite due to budget cuts, which I think was a better move, which was that they closed down pretty much all of the other wings of the hospital, but retain their ER.
Yeah.
It is weird to go there because the rest of the place looks like a ghost town. And then you go in, you're like, oh, there's a doctor.
Yeah. Well, they get by on car accidents all day and all night. So, it's Quincy. Welcome.
You're from the North Shore. Shut up.
Yeah. So, I'm just saying you have a lot of car accidents down there. You know, Winchester Hospital, they get a lot of car accidents.
Fair point.
So, basically what you need to know if you're local is after 11 o'clock at night, if you're here on the Tufts campus, if you're in the immediate area, you're going to have further to travel to get medical care. So please, please, please time your misbehavior appropriately. You know, if it's getting to be 10:30 and you're thinking of doing something a little reckless, maybe you want to wait. You don't put that off until 7 the next morning, and then you can get to the closer emergency room.
So in national news, this one is a little tough for me to talk about, but borderline.
What? Say that again.
Borderline?
Borderline. Is this the fire? No. Oh, no, 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 no. This is the shooting.
Yes.
At the country club, or the country and western club, I should say. 11 people?
12.
11 club goers, one sheriff's deputy, and the shooter killed on college night. A bunch of students from Pepperdine University who were out
and,
there.
And from, there's a, there's the, why can't I think of it right now? But one of the, like, California, not community colleges, but one of like the city colleges of California has a campus very close.
Yeah, this guy was a regular at the club. He grew up in the area and apparently went in with a handgun. He's a former Marine. Went in with a handgun with at least one extended capacity magazine and started shooting the place up, looking for people who picked on him when he was a teenager.
Yep. The reason this is difficult for me to talk about is, as our listeners know, I did not very much enjoy my time in Los Angeles. They don't understand sarcasm. What the hell? But the close friends that I had there, a lot of them lived very close to that bar. And when I broke up with my boyfriend, of 3 years. I'm not like, oh my God, he dumped me after a month. But when I broke up with my boyfriend of 3 years, the first thing that one of my close friends said is, this is the place, you got to knock one out. Like, this is where we're going to go. And I've been there so many times and it's a regular place for a lot of my friends. I spent all day Thursday texting people to make sure they were alive. I actually had an anxiety attack on Thursday night. That was fun at work because we were having a private party. All these people started filtering in and I hyperventilated because it reminded me so much of that. But I know it's gotten to the point where this is so commonplace that we don't really talk about it on the show anymore because it's like, oh, another shooting happened. Is it different than the one that happened 3 days ago? But it's getting really frustrating.
This one in particular is not going to grab as many headlines because it took place in a bar.
Yep.
And it took place with college kids in a bar. And there are a lot of people in the United States, Shay and I are not among them, but there are a lot of people in the United States who will quietly pass judgment on that and say,
oh, well, they were partying.
Shouldn't have been there. And that's what happens.
Half the time that I was there, a lot of people literally just went, it wasn't always country western. They had like different nights, but it was generally, you know, that was the, you know, I hate country music, but it was just a fun place to hang out.
That part of the state's all about country. They love them some country out around there.
But it was called Borderline because it was on the border of the Santa Monica Mountains, which are now
on fire. Yes.
But half the time, the people that went there, like, they're drinking water. They went there because they wanted to just, like, line dance or, like, depending on the night, or, like, just hang out with people their own age.
Yeah.
Or, in my case, be a cougar in her late 20s hitting on college kids. But it was just a fun place to hang out. And it's getting really annoying. Annoying is the best word, that you have to look over your shoulder. Like, when it happened, I spoke to my father and I said, like, every time I go on stage doing comedy, my first thought, instead of I can't wait to make these people laugh, is, boy, would this be a great opportunity for a mass shooter. Everyone is facing a direction the opposite of the door. And it's so unfair that we have to live our lives that way. Don't you die, Derek.
In this particular case, having seen the video from it, everyone who died was pretty much right near the entrance.
Oh, yeah. He killed... Well, that's actually the only person that I was vaguely familiar with that died was the bouncer.
Yeah.
But yeah, he killed basically all the security personnel, or at least attempted to. Killed a bunch of college kids that were like right by the door. And then when the sheriff came in, he tried to return fire and he shot him.
Yeah.
And I believe if memory serves, he was the last victim, except for I won't view that guy as a victim, but he was the last person to die except for the shooter.
What tends to happen in a lot of these cases is these guys walk into a place and, you know, whoever's near them. So if you stay away from the entryway, you know, you give yourself a measure of safety.
But it sucks that we have to think about things like that.
Well, we're not...
Like, I don't go out at night to have fun to worry about, oh, I should stand behind this pool table because if a shooter comes in, I can duck.
Well, if you could get people to think about proper mental health care in this country, maybe we could have fewer of these shootings.
Well,
but no one seems to be inclined to do that.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, there was one person that was shot, survived, and 15 to 20 others, they're still trying to figure it out, suffered, like, broken bones or needed stitches or something. Because they were jumping out of windows and diving under tables. Like, can you imagine breaking your nose because you dove to the floor because there's a crazy person shooting on what is supposed to be a fun night? My heart has been breaking for the last week. It's awful. Go to your story. Please.
You're not going to like it much better. Campfire.
Forty-eight people have been confirmed dead. Oh, we're having so much fun.
Yeah, same same general area as the borderline.
Yep. There's two. That's what...
The campfire is the one that's burning up around Pepperdine.
I was going to say, the campfire... is one of my old customers died, actually. Or they think he did, because something that's crazy is a lot of people tried to escape in their cars, and cars are filled with gasoline. The fire reached them, and the cars exploded.
Yeah.
And that's what when I called to check on my old... It's been a really fun week checking in on my old friends from California.
You're basically calling California all week, like, is everyone still alive? Okay, who's not alive?
The silver lining to the cloud is I got to catch up with a lot of people I haven't talked to in a long time.
Yeah.
But I got in touch with my old manager, who was basically my best friend when I worked in Malibu. Hi, Katie. Which the fire stopped, like, just short of Pepperdine. And... my restaurant was a quarter mile southwest of Pepperdine. So it's like literally that shopping complex was like right on the edge.
Yeah. Might still go up because that's the Woolsey fire that's burning near Malibu. Yeah. And that's been flaring up again.
But we found out, she was like, well, we think Walt's dead because his neighbor found his license plate.
Ooh.
Yeah. But actually, my favorite guy in the world, hey, Brian, is in California right now to deal with the one in the north.
Which may have been sparked, interestingly, by high-tension power lines.
Not may, was.
Well, they're not 100% sure on that yet. Operated by Pacific Gas and Electric, giving off sparks. So that's interesting. There's been a lot of talk about the town of Paradise being obliterated from the map, and it pretty much every bit of it has been burned down.
Can we stop for a moment to appreciate the fact that the name of the town is Paradise? Mm. My mom last night said, "So Paradise is on fire," and I was like, "Oh, what a phrase!"
Now, Paradise was recently on fire in 2008 during the Humboldt fire that only caught a corner of town.
Yeah, I remember that.
But here's the thing that's interesting about this: Paradise was incorporated in 1979, and prior to that, really nobody lived out there. When you're looking at all of this coverage of the fires, I want you to look for the trees, because what you will see over and over again is that as long as the trees were not immediately next to a structure, the trees are still standing. And the trees are intact. And the reason the trees are still standing, and the reason the trees are still intact, is because over hundreds of thousands of years, the trees have come to realize that California burns. California has a particular... Oh,
yeah. That was one of the things that made me terrified about living there.
California has a particular combination of oily, dry brush. So what happens is it rains in February, everything turns green, and then it doesn't rain for the next 8 months, and everything turns brown. And all of that brown stuff is full, just chock full of flammable oil. And then the Santa Ana winds come along and blow hot air at 40 to 50 miles an hour. Anything. You can pull a car off the side of the road and start a brush fire in California at this time of year. Ask the LA PD because they've had it happen to them. Somebody throws a cigarette out a window. High tension lines give off a spark. Anything will set this landscape on fire. And
it's like the perfect storm of factors that lead to a fire.
And I come back to the trees, because when you look at the coverage, you'll see the trees are still standing, and the trees are like, yeah, because what happens is these fires move very, very quickly. They burn through that brush at, you know, miles per hour. We get forest fires around here, and they're sort of slow moving things. You know, it takes a fire hours to get anywhere. Those fires can cover a mile in minutes with the Santa Ana winds blowing on them because the landscape is so flammable. And the trees have evolved to deal with this. So maybe, just maybe, we keep hearing about how these fires are more devastating than ever before and how there's more property loss than ever before. And now we're seeing loss of life. Maybe you shouldn't be building out there.
Yeah.
And I don't say this to clown on the people who are living out there, and I don't say this to diminish the losses out there. This is horrible what's happened. But when you have a tragedy, and this is a tragedy, you have to begin by asking, what can we learn from it? What can we do to prevent this from happening again? And all across the coastal United States and in flood-prone areas of the United States, we've basically told people, you can't build here anymore. And the way that we did it was the insurance companies basically said, we're not going to insure anybody who lives out there anymore. Okay, you build a house on the coast, you're not getting any insurance. And they set up the National Flood Insurance Program, which basically moved flood insurance out of the domain of private insurers and into the hands of the federal government. So now the federal government can come along and basically say, okay, you want to build a house out on out on Georgia's bank. Well, we're not going to insure that house, so you can't build that there. And it gives the federal government the ability to come in and say no. So that places that flood, and there are certain designated flood zones, and these are places that flood every 10 years or less. They flood on a regular basis.
Yeah.
The government is basically
saying... it's like built in, some people build their homes around it.
Exactly, because it's got a nice view, or it's on the coast, or what have you.
Yeah, like you go to Hummer Rock, half the houses are on stilts.
Yeah. Now, that's another thing that's been done, is they've mitigated the damage, so that they know there's going to be floods. They know there's going to be storm surge. You put the house up on stilts, water goes under the house, water goes away, house is fine. So, maybe you can mitigate for fire. It's tough to say because the way that those fires move out there presents a lot of challenges. And the reason the houses burn down with these fast-moving fires is because the temperature outside goes up to 1,000 degrees very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the house, the temperature is still 75 degrees. That causes all of the windows in the house to explode.
Yep.
And as soon as those windows explode, the fire shoots in to that cooler air and ignites everything combustible in the house, which is why you see these houses completely burned to the ground. It's because it's not like you get a fire starting in one corner of the house. The whole house fills up with flame immediately and starts to burn. And there's nothing firefighters can do. There's nothing anybody can do at that point. There may be ways to prevent that. maybe if you have 100 feet of patio or 20 feet of patio and a 10-foot wall around the house, that will stop it from burning down. Maybe if you have landscaping 50 feet out from the house, you can stop it from burning down. These are the sort of things that we need to look at now.
Well, and
before we let everybody go back in and be like, I'm going to build my house again. This is the third fire in the last 15 years that has caused damage like in the town of Paradise.
Straight destruction.
Yeah. Well, even, and this one was the worst of all of them.
Well, even in Malibu, I actually, if our listeners are on Instagram, what do you call it when it's a hyphen, but it's at the bottom? I always forget.
An underscore?
Underscore. Thank you. I just, like, it lost my mind, left my mind. But if you go to A underscore Lally, L-A-L-L-I-E underscore on Instagram, she actually has a video of my old commute to work through Malibu Canyon.
With walls of fire on either side?
Mm-hmm. And every, I used to make jokes because the whole time I lived there, I was like, why did they build a city here? This is a desert wasteland.
Yeah.
Like the palm trees, everyone's like, oh my God, Hollywood palm trees. Those palm trees were flown in from Florida. They don't grow naturally in Los Angeles County. There's a reason that they perfectly line the streets. They were planted there because they knew that palm trees could survive the climate. But if you watch the video that she posted, I used to drive on that road every single day, and there was a Smokey the Bear sign I would pass every day that said fire warning today. It would literally change daily.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing those signs.
And like on days it said extremely high, I'd be like, maybe I'll just stay in Malibu and park my car really close to the beach and go swimming for 6 hours.
They had those signs on the 101 heading up to Calabasas.
I would take the 101 to Calabasas. I'd get off at Calabasas and go through Malibu Canyon, which is, if you, like I said, her Instagram handle is A underscore L-A-L-L-I-E underscore. And this video, I couldn't even handle looking at it because I remember driving through there both. I love, my mom and my dad visit me separately, obviously, because they're divorced when I lived there. And I took them both down that road. And my mom was terrified because it's like along the edge of a cliff and you go through this really narrow tunnel. And my dad was like, this is so much fun. But I used to think that tunnel was like the scariest part of that ride. And if you watch this video, as she's coming out of the tunnel I used to drive through every day.
Fire.
It looks like the gates of hell.
Yeah, yeah. It's unusual for fire to get on that side of the 101.
Oh, yeah.
Usually it's on the western side of the one, or it's on the eastern side of the 101 and not the western side. So, you know, the houses that burned in Malibu are houses that have been there
for decades. Like, unheard of.
The houses that burned further north up in Calabasas, a lot of those are new. A lot of those have been built in the last 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Calabasas is, for those of you who have watched the show Weeds, the opening where it's little boxes on the hillside and they all look... The aerial shot is of Calabasas.
Yeah.
They're all like prefab cookie cutter homes.
Yeah, Calabasas prior to the 1990s was just hills that you drove through on your way to someplace interesting.
Oh, God. Let's move on. I'm sorry. World. In world news, Victor Lieberman.
Let's say that again. Sorry.
Victor Lieberman. Israel.
Is he the foreign minister?
Israeli defense minister.
Step down today.
Former.
Yes. Step down today because he does not appreciate the peace deal that Egypt brokered between Hamas and Israel following the hottest aerial firefight that has existed between those two countries in 4 years.
Yes. He said he called the truce a quote unquote surrender to terrorism.
Yeah.
And when he, he's been a very hardcore, very militant and passionate about their relationship with Egypt ever since 2014 in the Gaza war. But he said, and when he resigned, he said, "We are buying short-term peace at the price of long-term national security."
Yeah, never mind that Israel fomented all of this. There was a commando raid on Sunday that went horribly wrong. And they killed...
Oh, you don't say. Something went wrong in the Middle East? Tell me more.
Killed a senior Hamas leader. Hamas responded by firing a rocket that actually hit a bus with Israeli soldiers on it. And Israel started shooting. So Hamas started unleashing rockets. Israel's tanks and ships and aerial defenses all kicked in. And they basically dropped a lot of ordnance on each other over the course of 24 hours, and then Egypt walked in and said, "Hey, knock it off." So that's where we stand right now. I think for the former defense minister, this is one of those cases where, wait, you let me, unleash all the guns? Because that's the way these guys are programmed. You get to be defense minister, or you get to be secretary of defense, or, minister of defense, or whatever it is in any country, basically by saying the only solution to this problem is to roll in the tanks. That's the worldview. Everyone is out to harm us. Everyone is out to get us. Everyone is out to destroy us. We need to roll in the tanks. And then you have other people in the government who keep that in check. But you want that guy to be that guy.
Yeah.
So that when you have to roll out the tanks, they're like, "Hey, I get to roll out the tanks."
He's got the cojones to be the one to make the call.
Yeah, he's like, "Roll out the tanks."
Well, it's so funny. When I remember the exact moment that I learned about the issues between Israel and Palestine, all of this, I was about 9 years old, and we were at my godmother's house, and the news was on. And I'm watching as it was when Clinton was president, and he met with Yasser Arafat. And I remember looking at my father, and my father's just sitting there, like, very concerned and, like, shaking his head. And I remember saying, "It's okay, Dad. They're going to figure it out. Wars always end. Like, they'll figure this out." And he looked at me and said, "I can't wait until you're an adult so you can understand that this is never going to end." And here I am, 23 years later. Still happening.
Well, it could end tomorrow if the Israelis would stop occupying Palestinian territory, but they don't. And so Hamas keeps doing what it's doing, and the Israelis keep doing what they're doing. And every now and again, people start throwing rockets at each other.
Well,
it's just the way it's going to be.
Well, hey, they have almost the exact same climate as Los Angeles. Maybe the entire place will set on fire.
Mm. No, because they, instead of...
Oh, because they don't have trees. That's right.
Instead of flammable...
I'm sorry, I did not mean to laugh at that, but...
Instead of flammable grass... Just,
the world is absurd right now.
They substituted the flammable grass for sand, and the sand doesn't burn.
Damn sand.
Smart move on their part.
Yeah. Good for you, Middle East.
Brexit.
Prime Minister... I read about this. I can't... Enlighten me. As I say, I read about this, and I know it has to do with the prime minister and them coming to some sort of accord with the EU in terms of not hating each other anymore and making it okay.
Well, we're getting there. We're not quite there.
That's the thing, is it's such a developing story that it's like I've read so much about it. I'm like, where are we now?
Yeah. Well, it took 5 hours of debate, but UK Prime Minister Theresa May got her cabinet to back a framework agreement for Brexit to take place. It is apparently 595 pages long. And it solved one of the sticking points, which is there will be no hard border between Ireland and Northern Ireland. And that was a big issue in this because Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom. It will remain as such. Ireland is part of the European Union. So How do you keep the goods moving back and forth across that? The UK has said there will be no hard border. They're going to stay in line with the customs rules of Europe, at least there.
That was actually the thing, as an Irish person whose cousin lives 2 hours from the border of Northern Ireland. That was my biggest concern about this, to be honest with you.
That decision is not sitting well with the Tories, who are calling for Theresa May to step down. They're basically saying that she has subjugated the United Kingdom to continued European rule, that she's given up too much.
Ay, ay, ay.
Cabinet members are likely to resign over this. It is possible that a vote of no confidence will be called sometime in the next week. In the meantime, this agreement goes over to the European Union, who are expected to meet the leaders of the 27 EU member nations, will meet sometime in the final week of November to review this and make their own suggestions.
Do these dummies know how lucky they are to even have Northern Ireland? Do you know how many of my ancestors either fought or died to make it so that we handled that whole place?
Well, I think they're happy to have Northern Ireland.
That's what I'm saying is like, quit while you're ahead, basically. Just obviously the divide, and for people who aren't Irish, they might not understand as much, but the divide between Ireland proper and Northern Ireland is vast.
Yeah.
But at least in recent times, it's been rather peaceful.
Well, it's because everybody's making money over there.
Exactly.
That's the main thing.
But it's a matter of that, like, this is one of those things where it's like, why are you making, if anything, like, putting a fight up against this? And people do travel freely, both with goods and as human beings,
yeah,
between Northern Ireland and Ireland.
And this, this was a major sticking
and
point
this
for
is
Brexit.
Going, this might... This could stir things up, is all I'm saying.
It, as they've negotiated it now, it's not going to. Everything in Ireland
Where's
is going...
Where's some wood? I'm going to knock on it.
Well, of right now, everything in Ireland is going to stay the way it is, and nobody wants to rock that boat. Ireland is doing very well for itself as part of the European Union. Northern Ireland is doing well as part of the EU and as part of the UK. Everybody over there is generally happy with the way things are going.
Exactly. Like, it's finally, like, a status quo, like... peaceful situation.
Yeah. And you may wind up in a situation where Northern Ireland tries to secede, votes to secede from the United Kingdom and rejoins its neighbors on the southern end of the island.
Oh, you mean the ones that look exactly like them and have the same accent, essentially?
Yeah. But just have a different idea of who they want to be affiliated with.
I'm not trying to be insensitive, but I will laugh so hard if that happens.
Yeah.
Gordon Hayward. I'm sorry, I forgot to say in sports news, Gordon Hayward.
He was in Genesis.
What?
Wasn't he?
That's right. You only like football.
No, Genesis is a prog rock band from the 1970s.
I know, that's why I'm saying the reason you don't know who Gordon Hayward is because you only like
football. No, I know who Gordon Hayward is. He's a baseball player.
Basketball?
Oh.
I can't believe even if you don't like basketball that you don't remember what happened last year, because I'm not even a huge sports fan other than baseball, and I, to this day, am chilled by the sight of what happened to him.
Is this the ankle injury from the other night?
The ankle injury from the other night was a member of a different team that Gordon Hayward reached out to him because he knows how he feels. That is not the story I'm referencing, though.
All right, because the kid that suffered that ankle injury the other night, apparently he's going to be fine. He just dislocated his ankle and may play again this season. Gordon Hayward
last year.
He's the guy with the
big
beard.
Big, fat, did not just dislocate his ankle. Last year, as Celtics fans know.
Yeah, he snapped his leg.
Less than 6 minutes into the 2017-18 NBA season, Gordon Hayward, which was arguably the best forward that the Celtics had.
Celtics are losing a lot.
Dislocated and fractured his left tibia in his first game playing for the Celtics.
Yeah, I know. I remember that.
he's been through surgery, rehab, training to recover ever since. It's, if Google Gordon Hayward injury video, it looks like something out of a horror movie.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty.
Like, no one's foot should turn that way. But yesterday, because...
Oh, it's just kind of flopping there afterward. It's,
oh, know. it's I do ballet, or I do. I did ballet and, like, know how to turn my feet out all the way, like, at a straight line. And it affected me seeing what happened to him. But yesterday, like, you know, the Celtics have had a terrible start to their season.
Yes, they have.
And yesterday before practice, Gordon Hayward basically said that he'd be willing to come off the bench if necessary, even if he wasn't in his classic position. Like, he's like a number one more than, he said, I'm happy to be on court number one more than anything, and number two, doing whatever I can do to help us win. Like I said before the season, it's whatever to me. Like, I just want to help us win. If that doesn't mean that I'm the starting forward, so be it. But because that's the thing, is when you're at the professional level like that, even if, I mean, it's like, and I'm not saying I was at the professional level of soccer, but when I played soccer, I was a goalie, and I was a damn good goalie. But when I was a goalie, but at the same time, I was good enough that, like, if a defenseman, and I was like, but you play girls soccer. If someone on defense,
a female,
empowered woman. Oh, I'm getting off track. But if somebody was on defense got injured, I was good enough that I could be like, you know what? I'll hop in on defense, bring in the backup goalie. Like, and that, I think this, that's why I wanted to include this story, because I think it's so admirable that he's like, this isn't what I like to do the best. This isn't what I'm trained the best to do, but I'm good enough that toss me in wherever you need me.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very,
that's cool,
respectful. He's also just a very handsome Irishman.
I've been in mourning for the sports since that Patriots fiasco on Sunday. So,
oh, yeah. Pobrecito. Yeah.
Calgary.
Like the city in Canada?
Oh, Canada.
Our true end. Sorry.
The key to singing the Canadian national anthem is to get that first, oh, you got to get that note right.
Oh,
Canada. Canada. You get that and the rest of it just kind of flows.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, Canada. Anyway, Calgary.
Oh, Canada.
Oh.
The thing about the Olympics and the, reject the Olympic plea because of the stampede?
No, it wasn't because of the stampede. There was a stampede to vote against it, is what happened. 56...
I was saying, because the Calgary stampede is a thing.
Yeah. 56.4% of Calgary residents voted against hosting the Olympics in a special election, which has forced Calgary to withdraw its bid for the 2026 Winter Olympics. That's good news for Stockholm, Sweden, and Milan and Cortina in Italy. Milan and Cortina have launched a joint bid. Although, people in both of those, or all three of those cities, cheered the results from Calgary. So
I really hope
might be some more referendums coming, kids.
I really hope that it's not in Milan. Only as someone who lives in Milan, that air quality is not good for athletes.
They were playing football in Los Angeles on Sunday. Nobody cares about the air quality.
Fair point.
You know. By the way, the NFL moved their Monday night game that was supposed to be in Mexico City because of the field conditions following a Shakira concert. There's aerial footage of the field available online. It looks like
Shakira still does concerts.
It looks like large portions of the field were set on fire. It's unbelievable.
I'm sorry. I'm just snorting over the fact that Shakira is still performing.
WMFO Medford. They like it when I say that.
They do.
WMFO.
They greatly enjoy it. WMFO Medford. entertainment. This is a, what's the word I'm looking for? This is a softball. Stan Lee.
The founder of Marvel Comics. Well, he's not the founder of Marvel Comics. The former president and editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics died at the age of 95.
I would say his obituary lists him as the creative mastermind behind
Marvel. Pretty much was. Stan Lee's an interesting guy.
Super interesting.
Because at the time that he came up, basically, there was a comic book company that was partly owned by his uncle. And he got a job working there when he was like 14 years old. It was the 1920s.
Yeah.
He got a job working there when he was
95.
Or in the 1930s. Basically, like refilling inkwells for the artists and getting coffee for people. And he really fell in love with the industry. And over time, they started letting him write things. And over time, he wrote more and more and more. And he basically created this concept that superheroes could be flawed. Superheroes could have problems. They could be alcoholics.
Oh,
they
could
be drug abusers. They could be womanizers. They could be depressed. And that informed the characters that he created, which include the Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, Black Panther, Falcon. One of the things that's been driving me nuts, by the way, over the last couple of days, is you get all these NPCs on Twitter coming out and being like, well, good riddance to Stan Lee. He was a racist. Stan Lee was the furthest thing from a racist imaginable.
Yeah, totally.
Stan Lee created the first iconic black superheroes.
Yeah.
At the height of the civil rights movement, when white people...
If anything, he was a civil rights activist.
When white people would come and burn your house down. For doing that.
Well, and that's the thing is that Stan Lee...
Not a racist!
Stan Lee was a genius in that he created superheroes that were ever so slightly humanized. Like, Superman, you can't relate to Superman.
Superman was perfect in every possible way.
Exactly, you can't relate to Superman, but, like, take Spider-Man. Spider-Man was orphaned and lived with his aunt and uncle.
Think about it. Was
a total nerd and then got bit by a spider. Like,
Spider-Man let his uncle's killer go.
Yeah. That haunted
him for the rest of his life. It was sort of the difference between, because here's the thing. You're kind of borrowing from Batman when you do that.
Yeah.
Because Batman's father and mother,
also an orphan, yeah,
are orphan. His parents are killed by a street criminal. But Batman, before Frank Miller gets his hands on him, Batman is a paragon of virtue.
Yeah.
All right. You watch the 1960s Batman TV series. That's what Batman was. Batman was a sort of corny do-gooder who had all these unlimited resources and all these great gadgets, but basically was like virtuous and upstanding, yeah, like, and would always save
like
the day.
What we would hope all billionaires would be, yeah, and rarely are.
Eat your vegetables, kids, if you want to grow up like Batman.
But that's the thing, is that he took the concept of being a superhero out of he's from another planet and this and that to, like, these are actual human beings that just rose above their humanness, which is an incredibly inspiring thing to give to society. I mean, I'm not trying to be cheesy, but just like the fact, I'm a comedian. Do you know how many of my friends are freaking comic book nerds? That's the reason I know so much about Stan Lee.
I gotta take a quick break for one of these, and then we're gonna be right back.
If you want to stay alive this holiday season, when you drink, plan not to drive. We'll tell you the reason. You could lose your license and end up doing time. Pay thousands of dollars to in lawyers, fees, and fines.
This holiday season, if you plan to drink, plan how to get home safely. Designate a driver or call a cab.
Make a plan before you go when your head is clear. Don't wait till you've had eggnog, hot wassail, or beer.
Brought to you by the Texas Department of Transportation.
Happy holidays from all of us here at WMFO.
It's good advice.
It is the big picture. Stan Lee passed away at the age of 95.
Well, that's what I want to say. My favorite thing about Stan Lee, though, is any movie in which he